Yeah. Welcome to the program.
Yeah.
Even old man, unflappable Rich is already rattled. We're talking about a train wreck Friday, yo. What's going on? Welcome to the show. My name is Jim Rohn. Here you go, Rich. Settling in nicely. Casual dress Friday, and there's the old man sitting front and center rocking a tie. Attaboy, Rit, you're back already. Had his grip on. So what's up with you, Rit? The cat got your effing tongue? He said, hey, man, I got a lot going on. I'm like, oh, you got a lot going on. Welcome to my life, Rit. I got a lot going on, yo.
Game on.
All right, welcome to the show. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Why is Rit acting like that? Because normally once a week he's got to sit that chair. Except he's going back to back.
It's lit!
Because Alvy's got a vacation day.
That is ridiculous.
It really is. Alvy's got a vacation day every single Thursday, but he's got one on Friday too. Rit, you got this. I know you do.
Park it down.
All right, we have got a really good show for you. Let's get it. Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. Here's why we have a really good day. I'll get right to your reaction momentarily. I've got a Wisconsin legend. And you know, I am a part of the Badger Mafia. Because our son, Jake Rome, attends the University of Wisconsin, Madison. And when you think of Wisconsin and when you think of athletics, you think of one man. Barry freaking Alvarez. You want to talk Badger Mafia. My man right there is the godfather. Barry Alvarez joins me at 40 past. He is already announced his retirement. He's going to stay on into the summer, but he made it official. Barry Alvarez at 9:40. As part of what we do, we used to always have a guest at 9:20. I decided to move that guest out, generally speaking, so I could open it up to you. But by doing that, I often go back to back, so we'll do that too. Barry Alvarez at 9:40. Bucky Brooks, NFL Network media analyst, joins me at 10 o'clock Pacific. Big head bets. It's a Friday. No football, no problem. No NCAA tournament, no problem. We've got Masters, we've got the NBA, and with the big head, James Kelly. You never know what he might hit. You know what I want odds on? His next appearance on Entertainment Tonight. How about that, head? Also, it's a Friday, so the big question is, I don't know, because I haven't heard from Alvin, because he's on vacation. Can Rit handle the week that was? He could barely handle getting us in and out of breaks. Can you imagine if I let Rit do the week that was? Rit's week that was.
Ambi.
Week that was. It's a good idea. Find out. Friday also is an ATP day. I think I'm going to go right to your reaction even before the opening take. When do I ever do that? Let's see. Violent JC tweets. Any chance of a Gavin flameout reset for those of you who could not catch the third hour yesterday? All right, listen, you know what I always say, you miss a little, you miss a lot. Don't miss things. Don't miss hours. Don't miss days. What if I can't reset that? What if I don't want to reset that? What if I want you to listen every single day so you don't miss anything? Hell yes, I'm going to reset that. Of course I am. You know it. This one says, hey, Gavin, you little truant. I like playing the word game. I'm a wordsmith. There are things that I'm good at, and there are things that I'm not so good at. Man, I am so good at words. Really good. I have a strong vocabulary. So I like to play that game. That's a good word. Oh, I love that word. I use that word. Truant is a good word. I know, because I'm a wordsmith. Hey, Gavin, you little truant. You shouldn't be playing hooky to listen to Rome. You should be in school learning how to read. Oh, Mikey. Mike and Snowbird. Gavin, that's going to hurt. That's going to leave a mark, and there's going to be a lot more marks. Believe me, that will not be the one and only scar. You should be in school learning how to read. Mike and Snowbird, that will make more sense when I get into that a little bit later on. This one reads, Dear Augusta National. Sorry, Augusta.
Sorry, Rome.
Sorry, Augusta.
Sorry, Rome.
Messing up there because I'm a stupid 27-year-old. Regards, Bryson DeChambeau. Geoff and Lincoln. You know what? If I'm going to get to your reaction before I get to my own reaction and my own first take, it better be good reaction. That's good reaction.
Oh my gosh, what is going on?
Right? What is going on? All right, so if you have reaction, hit me, 1-800-636-8686. And now Bucky is in red. So I separated those two. That's good. Bucky Brooks is going to be a 1020. That's a change. In addition to that, you can hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Why don't we start with the Masters? Now, remember when Dustin Johnson won the Masters a few months back when he went 20 under? He went out and he absolutely hammered that course. He had rounds of 65, 70, 65, 68. He torched it. Torched the track, flat out dominated it. Well, that same course said, you're not doing that again. You're not doing that next time. And DJ did not. The defending champ shot 74 yesterday. And that was the course. Getting up off the mat and knocking the hell out of the defending champ. After doling out a beating a few months back, Johnson was the one who took that beating yesterday. And believe me, he was not the only one. In fact, if your name was not Justin Rose, there's a good chance that you got your face broken yesterday at Augusta. It was that brutal. It was brutal, but it was kind of awesome, too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love when guys are throwing darts and going low, but there's also something to be said for a course fighting back and wrecking guys. And there was just no way, no way that the suits there, the golf gods, were going to let anybody go minus 20 in April the way they did in November, or the way DJ did. So it was not just the scorecards that took punishment yesterday. There were lots of guys who seemed to get beaten down emotionally and psychologically as well. As an example, 2017 Masters champ Sergio Garcia shot 76. He compared it to getting his ass kicked in a title fight.
I fought hard, but I don't know. I feel like I just came out of the ring with Evander Holyfield, you know, like a 12-round match. So I need to go home and rest.
Really, Serge? Because Evander came out of that, quote, 12-round match with half his ear gone. 2019 U.S. Open champ Gary Woodland actually was thinking the exact same thing after he went out and shot 73.
It's tough. I mean, I feel like I just got in the ring with Mike Tyson or somebody. It was brutal out there.
There you go. In other words, that course was making almost everybody feel a little bit like Peter McNeely.
You have a big dump in your pants.
Of the entire field, only three guys shot in the 60s. Like, name your favorite golfer. He had himself a day. A bad day. And again, I'm talking about yesterday. Guys are out there right now and things have changed a little bit. But going back to yesterday, Jordan Spieth, for instance, came in with a ton of momentum. He shot 71 yesterday. But then again, that was a pretty damn good 71 when you consider he had a triple bogey on number 9. He shot a triple bogey on the front 9 of the Masters and still came away with a 71 on a day like yesterday. So you can feel pretty good about that. Because everybody else was eating punches. Not pimento cheese sandwiches. It was all knuckle sandwiches. Hey-o. Man, there is some serious pimento in that line. Serious cheese in that line. Anyway, check these numbers. Get a load of these numbers from yesterday. Brooks Koepka, 74. Phil Mickelson, 75. Zach Johnson, 77. Lee Westwood, 78. Matt Kuchar, 78. Patrick Cantlay, 79. My man. Dude, you know I hit him. You know I got down on him. It's my guy right there. Pride of the LBC. It's all right, Pat. You'll be back. But forget getting fitted for a green jacket. Some of the big names have work to do just to see the first tee on Saturday. After finishing 18 shots back of Dustin Johnson and one behind Bernard Langer in November, Bryson DeChambeau scienced his way to a 76. 76 and a tie with a 63-year-old Ian Woosnam. If I were doing the pod with Elk today, as opposed to Elk midweek, and he had plenty to say about that guy, that he glossed science, believe me, Elk would be like, effing science. Didn't learn an effing thing after he effed his way up and down Magnolia Lane last time. Effing guy. Effing science. He's still doing it again.
He didn't play the angles. He went for everything. He tried to drive the green at three and made triple. He tried to hit it out of the deep muff at 13 on Thursday and made double. And he fought his way all around the course, and then he got rolled by a 65-year-old German, Bernard Langer, on Sunday. So science left with the tail between his legs. If science played like Tiger played, or Jack, where he used his power on the fives and he learnt something from November and he laid up a few of these holes and played the angles, mate, I don't know if science has the respect for the angles. And they're going to get tricky this week, and it's going to be interesting to see. But if science plays the way I think he could, he's right there at the top, mate.
Mate, you called it. That was Elk earlier this week on the Jim Rome podcast. He called it. But that's how rough it was yesterday. Golfers were taking a beating, and so did science. I mean, if one of the most electric and physically dominant golfers on tour, a guy who's built like an NFL linebacker, ends up tied with a 5'4", 63-year-old guy named Woozy, that should tell you all you need to know. So what did science do in response? Science pulled out the protractor and his compass and a slide rule, and this is what science came up with.
You need to understand how the ball flies off of downhill slopes into uphill greens, and conversely, uphill slopes into downhill greens, and all the above. We just can't calculate and adjust the numbers very well, and the wind's pretty tricky out here. And the greens are bouncing pretty hard, and there you go. That's what happened.
Really, science? I don't know, science. See ball, hit ball. See ball, hit ball. See ball, hit ball straight. Speaking of guys who have no idea what the hell they're doing, I don't know. If I were you, science, do me a favor, man. Get back in the lab. Get right. And then maybe I'll get back on that bandwagon, man. You're making me look bad, dude. You just are. And then you got other guys who have no idea what the hell they're doing. And maybe it's science or maybe it's something else. But guys who have no idea what the hell they're doing or where the hell they're hitting it. Like Rory McIlroy, for example, his day was so ugly, he actually dotted his own dad.
From the left rough.
Right!
Oh, it's hit some poor patron.
In fairness, it was where I was trying to turn it off. It was a perfect shot. It was dead straight. But I think he was okay. I don't think he didn't limp away. He walked away pretty swiftly, so that was all right.
This guy hit his dad. Hey, Ritt, get ready to run that again. I want to make sure that I heard that correctly. I think I hear, right! Far right!
From the left rough.
Right!
Oh, it's hit some poor patron.
So you hear him yell, right! Rory should have been like, dad! Dad! Guy dotted. He dotted his own dad. And then made a light or made a joke of it by saying, quote, I think he was okay. He didn't limp away. He walked away pretty swiftly. I'm not sure what's worse, hitting your old man with an approach or saying that it was actually a pretty perfect shot, which is what he said. He said it was a good shot. Or reminding everybody, quote, he didn't limp away. He walked away pretty swiftly. Like, in other words, dude's not going at the pin. He's going at his old man. And if he brains him, it's actually a good shot. And he did. He said as much afterwards. It was a good shot. Yeah, but you hit your old man. Yeah, but it was a good shot. All right, then by that logic, they ought to get rid of the flag and let the old man stand in the hole and then shoot at him. Shoot at his head. It's a good shot because, quote, he didn't limp away. He walked away pretty swiftly. In other words, walk it off, old man. Reminds me of the chatter that you get at Logan Rome's high school baseball games. Cracks me up every single time. Like yesterday, you saw me post a couple of his RBI base hits. And by the way, in full transparency, man, we got our asses kicked. We got rolled up. I didn't show the scoreboard. Notice that. Notice I didn't show you how meaningless those RBI base hits were. Just the videotape. Go to my Instagram stories. I have things like that. If you're not following me on Instagram, you're missing the inside information, the inside video, the inside Rome family stuff. Check it out. Anyway, one of my favorite things about high school baseball is the chatter that goes on in high school baseball. Like, for instance, yesterday, one of our kids dotted one of their kids, and their whole dugout loved it. Like, yes, sir! Yes, sir! Don't rub it! Don't rub it! It cracks me up every single time. And in effect, when you hit a guy and the other dugout loves it, and they're screaming, yes, sir! Don't rub it! It means that your guy doesn't throw very hard. It means the other guy didn't get hurt. Kyle Porter from CBS, who was walking with Rory's group, tweeted after Pops was hit that Rory laughed and said, quote, should I ask for an autographed glove? That got back to Rory, and then Rory added this.
He's seen me sign plenty of stuff over the years, so I think that's the least of his worries. I think he just needs to go and put some ice on, maybe autograph a bag of frozen peas for him.
Got to hand it to Roars, man. Like, this guy can't play a lick right now, but he still manages to maintain his sense of humor. Then again, I'd be funny as hell, too, if I had a few hundred mil in the bank. He's like, hey, Dad, mix in some ice in ibuprofen. So when practically the entire field is taking shots, like Rory's old man, exactly how did Justin Rose go out there and shoot 7 under, 65? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I know he's a major winner, a former world number one, multiple second place finishes at the Masters. But we are talking about a guy who has not won in 2 years, a guy who cracked the top 30 in just 1 of 5 starts this year, a guy who had to go WD at Bay Hill 4 holes in with that bad back. And he started yesterday 2 over through 7. And then on a day when nobody else could get anything going, he got the whole damn thing going. Eagle on 8, birdies on 9 and 10. It got him to 2 under. Would have been great round in and of itself yesterday, but he wasn't done. He played 12 through 17 in 5 under. He went 9 under on the last 11. And he made it sound all pretty easy.
I kind of knew 2 over through 7 is not the end of the world, but I also knew that, you know, you're going in the wrong direction. You can't win the golf tournament today, even with a 65. You can't win it today. You can only probably lose it today, obviously.
So, a lot of guys lost it yesterday. He looked like he was going to early on. Then he got it going. However, that was yesterday. And today is today. And that track changes from day to day. And checking the leaderboard right now, today he's 3 over through the front 9. But still leading by a shot. A tradition like no other. The jungle. And hitting your dad with an errant golf shot and insisting that it was a good shot.
Oh my gosh, what is going on?
Right! I still think you should have just yelled, Dad! All right, in addition to that, Gavin. Gavin, the 16-year-old from Illinois. The young Gavin, the only teenager who was calling the program. Well, he called back yesterday. It was not a good decision. Speaking of people making decisions that are not good, how about a decision that cost you a toe? And then you deciding to keep that toe in a refrigerator as a reminder that it was a poor decision. Roland Gardner was amazing yesterday, wasn't he? The two things that are getting lost today because they happened late in the program are those two people, Roland and Gavin. In addition to the Masters and young Gavin lighting himself on fire, other topics I want to get to. How about cheating in baseball? Is there any sport where cheating comes up more than baseball? I don't think so. And again, it's an issue now because Trevor Bauer may or may not have doctored baseballs. And one thing I love, yeah, this segment's long, yo. The one thing I love is this notion of guys going to the bump with foreign substances. I'm all about that life. Whatever that foreign substance is, pine tar, goop, silly putty, anything. Any substance, especially if it's a foreign substance, and if you could somehow goop yourself up, put it in your hair, put it in your ear, get it under your tongue, wherever you put it, I love it. And I want to get to that. Oh, all of this, and I nearly forgot to remember or forgot to mention Big Head Betts. James Kelly coming in at 10:40. The beauty of the long first segment is it sets up a short second segment. I know how to do this. 1-800-636-8686. And what you got here is a RIT Friday, which means it's a train wreck Friday. I mean, I've never seen that old man so yipped up. Man, take it easy, Pops. You get a shot of hot chocolate. You're all good. Dear Rome, I feel like I just got out of the ring with Mike Tyson, signed Gavin, after reading Green Eggs and Ham. You're starting to get this thread. The JTP thinks that Gavin cannot read. You will find out why they think such. All of that's coming up. I've got Barry Alvarez in exactly 20 minutes from right now. You come up in here any damn time you want. I'm here for that, too. I'm already having a great day. How about you? So, as you might imagine, the golfers are in Georgia, and they are competing for the coveted jacket. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at the $1 million top prize. If you have not tried DraftKings, and I most certainly have, this is the time. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers. Stay under the salary cap. Submit your lineup before the tournament tees off on Thursday. Then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you will be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars and birdies and finishing position and more. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME during your sign-up this week. DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. That's codename ROME, R-O-M-E, to get your free shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
That makes me happy, man. Every single time I hear that riff, that makes me happy. Never get tired of it. And not because it means it's Friday, man. That's just, it's like a drug. It's good stuff. Little Van Halen. Vic in NoCal is in. Quote, I used to keep a blunt in my fridge to remind myself of the bad decisions that screwed up my life. IDK. If it's still there, though. I got evicted months ago. Signed, IRA. Dear Dad. Four! Signed, Eric and Lyle. Francis and Glendale. You know how I sometimes say too soon? Nah, I'm going to allow that. They're back in the news once again this week, the boys, because of a show that ran that TikTokers have put new eyes on Eric and Lyle and that they were falsely accused or falsely convicted. You got to love that, right? Like the kids of 2021 have nothing better to do but to go back to old news headlines, read up, do a deep dive, do a little research and say, hey, man, those kids were abused. Their dad was coming for them. So therefore, it was okay for them to get a shotgun, empty it, reload, finish it, and then go on a shopping spree. 1-800-636-8686. Barry Alvarez is coming up in about 10 minutes. Dear Jim, as a longtime clone pushing 50, far be it for me to pick up for a 16-year-old calling you, bagging on the senior jungle crowd. However, I'm certain this kid will take his licks a lot better than the majority of the keyboard warrior tough guys flooding your timeline with literacy and puberty smack. Typical vultures without stones enough of their own to call, feasting on the low-hanging fruit of a high schooler. Word to the wise, Gavin. Take a break. Make notes. Reset. Give it another shot if you're so inclined, possibly when you're of age to vote. We're ramping up smack-off season. Hedstrom Bacon in South Detroit. All right, that's an interesting point. So you're probably wondering what I'm going to tell the kid. Am I going to tell the kid that? Or am I going to tell the kid, yo, Holmes, stay down. Stay down. Stop trying to get up. Stay down. Fake like you're dead. Or am I going to say exactly what Bacon just said? It's all right. It's all part of the process. Everybody gets their ass kicked. Everybody gets their ass kicked. It's like MMA. Everybody loses. Except for Habib. But everybody loses. The jungle is like the UFC. The jungle is like life. I don't care how big and bad you are. Everybody gets their ass kicked. So, what do I tell this kid? I need time to lay it out. I can't give you a short version of it right now. Rome, why in the hell is Ritt dressed like he's a lawyer for the Easter Bunny's defense team? A purple polo with a pink pastel tie. I've been able to look past his tech fabric, double breast pocketed fishing shirts with a tie. But who wears a polo with a tie? Seriously, Eric in LA. Well, man, what do you have to say for yourself? He says it's casual day. Right, Ritt, it is. So why are you wearing a tie if it's casual day? Quote, I'm on the front row. Dude, you were talking so far out your ass, it's incredible. All right, if you're going to wear a tie, it's one thing. Don't put a tie on with a polo shirt. Who does that besides you? Best of both worlds is what he says. This dude is so jacked up. That's just a terrible look, man. A polo, a tie, an untucked polo. He's got jeans, mixed in some Fila shoes. Dude, you look like a clown. Dude, don't sit your ass down, Ritt. He's standing up and flexing for the camera. He's got a purple polo shirt and a pink pastel tie. And no hair. And Fila shoes. And he's standing up to show the world. Man, loud and proud, bro. 1-800, anything else? Spring. It's spring. Well, he's got his pastels out for springtime. 1-800-636-8686 when we come back. I'm sure that won't be the end of that, but we're going to take a short break for it. Got Barry Alvarez coming up next. Not only a member of the Badger Mafia, the godfather of the Badger Mafia, what an amazing career he's had. What an impact on that athletic department, that school, the entire state. Barry Alvarez joins me next. First up, though, here is...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's true. And I'm live. And I'm in Southern California. And I am a resident of Wisconsin. You know this. Welcome back. And with that said, I'm very happy to say I am joined by the University of Wisconsin Athletic Director. He has served as AD there since 2004. During his time as athletic director, Wisconsin has won 16 national titles, 74 conference regular season or tournament titles. He was the head football coach there from 1990 to 2005. He led the Badgers to 3 Big Ten titles, 3 Rose Bowl wins as head coach. He is a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. He did announce his retirement effective June 30th. I am joined by Barry Alvarez. Barry, it's great to have you back. How are you, Barry?
I'm great, Jim. How you doing?
I'm so good. I'm so good, and it's great to have you on. So, Barry, Tuesday, it became official that you were stepping down as AD at the end of June. Let me start right there. What led to the decision, and what made you feel like this was the right time to do so?
Yeah, Jim, actually, I was going to do it at January of last year after the last football season. But with the pandemic, I just didn't feel it was right to turn the program over to someone new and give them the burden of getting through it. So I visited with the chancellor, told her I would stay on and until we got through this. And it looks like we're moving through the back end of it. At least I hope so anyhow, but it was time. I'm 74 years old and it's time to pass the baton on.
I got it. Barry Alvarez joining us. Now, Barry, Tuesday, the official Twitter account posted a photo of you in front of all the trophies that have been won in your time there. 16 teams have won national championships in your tenure. The photo itself is amazing. In fact, I'm going to say it's a really badass photo. It's like the ultimate scoreboard. What do all the trophies mean to you?
Well, it talks about the consistency of our program and the depth of our program. You know, it all starts by you have to win in football. You have to fill the stadium. Football is going to be 80% of your budget, and it allows everyone else to have a budget that allows them to compete. But it talks about the coaches that we've hired and the type of kids that they recruit, how they represent us. It talks about, you know, the totality of the program. And I couldn't be more proud of it.
Barry Alvarez is a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. He announced his retirement effective on June 30th. You know, Barry, I look at that photo, and it would certainly indicate that Wisconsin athletics is a powerhouse now. However, take us back to when you first arrived as head coach. In the 4 years before you arrived, the football team had won a total of 9 games. You yourself had a really good thing going at Notre Dame. What made you take that job with Wisconsin when you did?
Jim, I wanted to be – my goal was to be a head coach. Division One. I really patterned my career after my college coach, Bob Devaney at Nebraska, who I really admired. You know, I even started out as a high school coach like he did. And, you know, he took a program that was down, turned it around, built it, sustained it, took the athletic director's job, built the athletic program. And that's what I always wanted to do. And we were able to come into Wisconsin. I felt, and I said when I took the job, I thought it was a sleeping giant. One Division One school that plays football in the state. It was good, you know, they played good athletics here, yet the good players were leaving the state. I thought I had a good plan to correct that. I knew I was going to put a good staff together. I knew the Big Ten. I love Madison. I love the state of Wisconsin. I just thought it was right. And seemed to work out pretty well.
Seemed to work out pretty well. Barry Alvarez joining us. Now, you knew it was not going to be easy, and it wasn't in the early years. Barry, that first season, the team went 1-10. And as you've said, quote, on Monday, I would have to go in and meet with assistant coaches, then the team, and I'd have to walk in. I'd have to be confident. But before I had to walk in there, I'd curl up in my office in the fetal position, aching. I was hurting so bad, end of quote. So what were the early days really like?
Well, you know, when you take over, I left Notre Dame. Actually, you know, we had success at Iowa. Lou Holtz recruited me to Notre Dame, and my second year there, he made me the coordinator. We won, I think, 25 of 26 games, including a national championship. And you think it's all your coaching, you forget it was the players. But you know, we just didn't inherit enough players. We just weren't good enough. We couldn't move the ball on offense. We could compete on defense, but we, you know, we just need better players. I knew I could hire staff that really could go out and recruit. You know, I had a month to recruit after I took the job before signing day, and the class that we recruited ended up being the nucleus of the Rose Bowl team in '93. So, you know, you have to have a plan, and we had a good plan to get it done, and I had the right people around me to help.
Barry Alvarez joining us. And then, Barry, you got to motivate guys, right? You got to recruit guys, then you got to motivate, and you got to lead. For instance, Joe Panos, who played for you in the early 90s, told The Athletic, and it's a great quote, "If you ask everyone who played for Barry Alvarez, we believe in that man, we'd follow him to the gates of hell and really think that we had a shot to kick the devil's ass," end of quote. It's such a great quote. First of all, what's it mean to hear that from him? And secondly, how were you able to give those guys that level of confidence?
It feels I've said all along, he's the greatest captain that we ever had here, and he's the one that really allowed, you know, he followed everything that I said. What he said, he meant. But you know, Jim, one of my theories and one of the things I believe in, I'm a fairly confident person, and the thing, when you have a team and you're competing, I always felt like I wanted to give them an edge. I wanted them to feel like they had an edge regardless of who they played. I wanted them to think that they were coached better, that there's something that I would give them throughout the week that they thought they had an advantage on whoever they played. And that's the way they went into games.
Barry Alvarez joining us. You know, he had another great story for The Athletic, which was before the Illinois game, Barry, back in 93. You had a chance to go to the Rose Bowl with a win. Pano said that Illinois coach Lou Tepper was talking some junk and that Illinois was just not showing you guys a whole lot of respect. He says that you got everybody fired up before the game and then ended with, quote, "And after the game, I'm walking up to the 50-yard line and I'm going to kick Lou Tepper's ass," end of quote. What do you remember about that moment and that team and that day?
Well, I'd say anything to get my team cranked up. And I knew that would fire him up. Lou's a little guy, you know, so that wasn't a very bold statement. But I'd say anything to get my guys cranked up.
You know, in 93, you win 10 games. You break the school record for most wins in a season. It was a record that stood for more than 90 years. And then, Barry, since 93, the program has had 13 10-win seasons. You know, when you think about where you started, what you inherited, I understand that you had a plan. I understand that you had confidence. But how much pride do you take in the fact that you were able to completely change the standard and the expectations for Wisconsin football?
You know, that's one of the things I take most pride in. You know, you watch a lot of schools. They have a great season. Then the bottom falls out. You see a lot of brand name schools around the country who've won national championships, have every advantage in the world because of their tradition, where they're located in hotbeds of high school football. And you see them take dips over the last, since the time you're talking, since 93. Yet we really haven't taken a dip. The consistency, you know, we talked about building the program with a good foundation that would last. And that's exactly what we've been able to do, and I'm extremely proud of that.
Barry Alvarez is joining us for a few more moments. Barry, I want to talk to you for a minute about Anthony Davis. He played for you in the early 2000s. He also told The Athletic that he still gets choked up when he thinks about how you responded to September 11th. He had family on the East Coast. He was unable to connect with them, but you stopped practice, and you asked every guy from the East Coast about their family. He always talks about that to this day. What do you remember about that time?
Well, that was I can remember getting ready to come out to practice, and someone in one of the offices yelled at me to come in here. The players were in meetings, and I went in and I saw the plane going into the World Trade Center, and I'm thinking somebody just declared war on us. That's the first thing that came to my mind, and then you started seeing what was happening, and I had a number of players from the East Coast. So that's the first thing that I addressed with them and wanted to make sure that they contacted their people. And we did everything we can to help them get through that, because I knew how emotional it was and could have been and how concerned all of them were, and all of us were concerned. So the first thing I was concerned and care about my kids, care about the players and their well-being, and that's just an example.
Barry Alvarez, my guest. Barry, I would say to you that was the way you handled your program and you cared about your players, and that's an example of that. But I would even go and extend this further, because the Badger family is so expansive, and I've now experienced this firsthand. And I can really say this because you and I used to have conversations, always great conversations, when you coached, and you were always great about coming on the program, and you were always accessible to us, and I always enjoyed that. But I didn't fully understand, right, until we sent our son to Wisconsin, and he's a sophomore right now. And the whole process started because when I mentioned it on the air that we were looking for a college, all of a sudden the Badger Nation, the Badger Mafia, came to the forefront. Now, you went to Nebraska, you were at Notre Dame, you were at Iowa, you've been in other places, even though you've been in Wisconsin for more than 30 years. Can you help me explain what is so exceptional and so unique about this family? Because everybody loves their school, but Wisconsin and Badger Nation truly is different.
You know, it's interesting. I just had Mike Tannenbaum in the office today. He was bringing his daughter through, you know, they're from down in Miami, and showing his daughter the campus, who wants to come to school here. And I told her, I said, I don't know anyone who's come to school here and gone to school here that it doesn't absolutely love this place, love Madison, love the university. When you leave here with a degree, you have a world-class degree. Donna Shalala said it best. Our students compete extremely hard during the week and party very hard during the weekend. So they're going to get an education, they're going to compete, but they're going to enjoy themselves at the same time. I've had three children go to school here. My third grandchild is going to school here, and I love it, and I'm proud of it. And I'm proud of the school.
I love it. It's really funny that that statement that you just made is the exact statement that I used when I said to my son, Jake, like he had it in his head, Barry, he wanted to go to NYU. And I said, listen, you got to go somewhere with a college experience. And I said the exact same thing. Literally everybody that I have ever spoken to that went to Wisconsin absolutely loved going there. I've never met anybody who didn't love it. Last thought, when I was in the press box for the Rose Bowl, not your favorite day, of course. That was a tough day, but I saw your grandkids. What's it like being a grandfather?
Well, I've got 8 grandkids. I've had 2 of them play for us. It's truly special to be able to watch your grandkids playing on the field and competing. But I've got a granddaughter that's a freshman right here right now, and to see her to get through, you know, work her way through the pandemic and that type of thing, it is awesome. And then I've got, you know, I've got grandkids all the way from 7 up to 25, and I'll be able to spend a little more time with the young ones now after I retire.
That's the whole point. He served as AD since 2004, did announce the retirement. It's effective on June 30th. He is a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, a Badger legend. He is Barry Alvarez. Barry, promise me this won't be our last conversation. Congrats on an amazing career, and I really do always appreciate the access, the relationship, and the fact that you always made it a point to come on this show.
Absolutely, and you can count on me being back, Jim.
Absolutely. Love it, Barry. Thanks so much. Barry Alvarez, if you have anything to do with that university, you know what an icon and a legend Barry Alvarez is. You know, The Athletic did a whole write-up, and the point was made that you'd be hard-pressed to find any single individual that had a bigger or a greater impact on an athletic program, a single individual that had a greater impact on an athletic program than Barry Alvarez did Wisconsin. And I don't think that I can refute that at all. An absolute icon and legend of the game. Barry Alvarez. You can tell I was looking forward to that. And I'm really happy with how that went. When we come back, an open segment to start hour number 2 on Wisconsin. Bucky Brooks also in hour 2, and the big head James Kelly as well. Stay tuned.